and welcome to the second season of Seniors in the Building. We are four friends exploring aspects of aging together. Our conversations run the gamut from humorous to serious to maybe outrageous. We hope to hear from new voices this year as we invite guests into our conversations. Thanks for being with us. Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick.
Good morning. Today's podcast features my mother. I'm the only one of the four of us around this table that still has a living mother and or a living parent. And Jack and I were back in Michigan this summer and thought we should maybe record her. So this is our first guest, quote unquote, for our season two. And I'll just set the context a little bit of, we asked her about aging and we'll let you listen to her, but she grew up during the Depression. She was the seventh of eight children, and her dad lost everything in the Depression, and they were very poor. But she remembers having enough to eat because they had a farm and cattle, so they had meat and dairy, and her mother had an enormous garden, and I still remember my grandmother's huge, huge garden. And my grandmother loved to cook and she loved to can, so they always had something to eat. They didn't have any toys, maybe a bat and a ball, but they did play in the bush and they used their imagination, and she just remembers it very, very clearly as a good time in her life. She was born, grew up and married in the same and lived in the same community that she still is in now. She lives in the same house that she and my dad built when they got married and I grew up in. And she has an enormous love of gardening. So she has her perennials that are all around the house, and she's gone to raised beds now because of her arthritis, but she still grows vegetables. And she is still very involved in her community at 92. Without further ado, let's listen to my mother and what she has to say about aging. Here we are at my mom's. I've talked about her quite a bit in our podcast, and so we've come to visit her for a few days this summer. And so we're interviewing her, Jack and I, on some of the questions that we've asked ourselves. So I'd like to ask you, Mom, is there wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners about growing older, or are there things about growing old that are anything that you want to talk about growing older? That's what our podcast is about.
Well, first I would like to say that growing older is a plus. Not everybody grows older. And so if you're fortunate enough to have good health, good relationships, and your genes are strong and healthy, and you're going to grow older in spite of anything you might do to prevent it. But it isn't all bad. As you grow older, I notice that society, for the most part, respects your age, and you begin to be called honey at the checkout. People that strangers come to your assistance if they see you're struggling. But you have to give some thought to what growing older is going to be for you. A lot of it is state of mind. But you can't do anything much about your health. If your health isn't good, you know, you have to battle illnesses like sugar diabetes and heart disease and, well, there's multitudes of things that older people suffer from. That's due a lot to age, but a lot also to your genes. So physically, growing older, you need to take care of yourself. You need to watch your diet, make sure you have lots of vitamins, and keep moving, keep exercising, do something that gets you moving. So eat well and drink lots of water, I'm told, and exercise. Mentally, you need to keep your mind active. For instance, I've heard several of my friends say, well, I used to play the piano, and this is kind of sad. If you have a talent, you need to keep using it. If you play a musical instrument, keep playing it. Even if I'm playing my violin at 92, it isn't perfect, of course, but if I still enjoy it and, you know, keep playing it. I play in a band and I just kind of blend myself in, and I take a lot of enjoyment from that. Be social if you can be. Also, you need to show respect as you grow older. People aren't going to respect you if you don't respect them. So I guess I would say, you know, keep involved. Take a newspaper, volunteer, keep in touch with your family, keep in touch with your kids. Don't sweat the small stuff, just let it go. Volunteer, watch for people who seem to need some attention. People that you know that might be confined to a healthcare facility, send them cards or visit them or go take some gift or something to a sick neighbor. So I would say for the most part, just keep moving and keep your mind moving, and do things that you enjoy. You can say no when you're older. If you can't do it or you don't like to do it anymore, don't do it. But also, you know, I try to do things so the kids don't worry about me. If they don't like it, if I drive long distances, or, you know, just do things, climb ladders or anything that is going to worry the children, your children. Don't do them. Don't let your children live in a state of worry about my mother or father. And if you have a spouse, you know, interact with your spouse and talk to your spouse and know your spouse and respect your spouse. And I don't know. It's just kind of the and kind of go with the flow. As you get older, you're going to find that you have to do things differently, and that's okay. And some things you can't do, and that's okay. And if you need help, you need to ask for it. There's lots of help out there for people. So, and keep a smile on your face. With that, I would bid you good aging.
That was amazing, Mom. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So there you have it. Words of wisdom from my mother. And we were kind of chuckling as we were listening to it. So I'm just going to open it up to people's comments and those of us around the table and responding to kind of what she said. I guess the first thing I want to say is that she seemed to have hit all of the things that you kind of need in your life in order to live long and grow old in a very positive way.
Right.
Healthy way.
Yeah, I guess what I thought her comment about it isn't all bad growing older. Yeah. That was so helpful. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I think that's it, right? Because we get so frustrated by the things that set us back, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like, for example, we drove all the way to Thunder Bay. We were going to go 4 hours, stay overnight in a hotel, and then go 4 hours, right? But of course, this is the season, fishing season, so we couldn't get a place anywhere in between. So we decided to go a day earlier and drive straight through 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Man alive, that was hard on the butt. It was hard on the head, you know, the bladder, you name it. Like, and I just kept thinking to myself, I don't know why I still do this, sit in a car for 8 hours, right?
Yeah, but Joanne said it isn't all bad, and you
I know it isn't all bad.
However, she did say at the end that you do things differently as you grow older.
Right, yeah. So, and I should have thought about that. You
so,
know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we found
some
that
some things
too.
You do and some things you can't do anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I think
and
a lot of people feel that. To.
But she says growing older is a plus. So remember that. It is, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
But the equation has to, growing older is a plus, and then a minus something.
Yeah, well, that's you. Yeah, that's your
minus route.
That Jack loves the minus. Uh-huh.
That's about it, isn't it? The plus and the minuses, right? That you have to find some balance there or something that you can live with, right?
Well, yeah, I guess it's being realistic, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And even with the minuses, that can be compensated for by gratitude, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Like, even though I wobble when I walk, mm-hmm. I can still move one foot in front of another.
Yeah.
And I can still see and hear. Mm-hmm. And so I can't take those for granted.
No.
I have gratitude for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing that hit me, and it was more of an emotional thing, because Signe, you said at the beginning, you know, you're the only one who has a parent still alive and caretaking.
That's right.
And when your mother said, it's a plus because, you know, some people didn't make it. That hit me, right? Because I thought to myself, gosh, I was 26 years old when my mother died. Yeah. So I will have never known what aging was to her, right? I learned some aging things in the family, in the genetics, right, from a grandmother and a couple of aunts who shared things on my mother's side, but I never had that, right? And so when you get to be the age where your mother died, right, I think to myself, I made it to that age, I made it farther and farther. And when I hit 65, I thought to myself, man alive, I'm still alive. Like, I, you know, because I never expected to be living past 65 in my head. So so it goes back to the gratitude, right, Jack, that you have to be thankful that you're one of the people who is still alive and gets to make memories, gets to grow old, gets to do things that some other people don't get to do, right?
And I think for Joanne, I'm amazed that she can be that positive, since she's the last remaining sibling in the family. Mm-hmm. So she's seen her brothers and sisters
die.
It was eight siblings, right?
She had seven siblings. There were
seven
eight of them.
Siblings. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of grief,
and it's
right?
Still going, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that impacted me that she, I think, comes across quite clearly is about the idea of being social. Again, we've talked about this before. You know, often when you get older, you know, as you lose, you know, connections with family or with friends because people pass away, we become very isolated. And it's almost like she's saying you need to intentionally build or keep relationships, be social, be engaged. Be involved. I think that's all pretty critical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we tend to forget that, or we tend to maybe not forget, but we tend to shrink in as our world becomes smaller. Mm-hmm. We don't tend to make it bigger like we used to.
And I think that's pretty evident if you think about our own society, in which we place seniors in homes, right, separated from their families. Or whatever community that they had in their house or their apartment or wherever they lived, right? And there we are, we're putting them all together. And you can build some social relationships in those kind of places, but I don't know if that's enough, that their mm-hmm. world does shrink. And really where their world can expand is if you think about the people in who are their, whatever you call your recreational directors or people who bring other people into their lives mm-hmm. and are able to do that. I think those are successful seniors' homes, right? That allow them to still expand their mind.
That do the programming to
the
help
programming,
them keep,
yeah.
keep busy and alive, you mm-hmm. know, engaged and thinking and
yeah,
that kind of thing.
So that the world doesn't shrink.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at sort of stories and even studies about intergenerational connection, which often if you are isolated or if you're sort of in a care home or seniors home, often you don't get that intergenerational connection anymore.
Exactly.
And how important that is. I still recall when one time we went to visit my mother and my one son, daughter-in-law and granddaughter came along. And granddaughter was about two or three.
Yeah.
She was very young, but she was the hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they
for
were
sure.
so excited to see a small child. And it's kind of eye-opening. Often they don't get to see a lot of children anymore.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mention that, because when I think of my mother, she, Chris, there were six of us, mm-hmm. and there are children and grandchildren. And all of the grandchildren have always brought their intended spouse to meet mm-hmm. my mother. They are the first, grandma's the first one to call if they're pregnant or going to have a baby or, it's just amazing how she has, when she talked about keep in touch with your family, keep in touch with your children, she has done that very well. Mm. She still calls me all the time.
So she's very intentional then to do that, to make sure she takes the initiative, which sometimes, I mean, I have to admit, I'm not very good at taking that kind of initiative for social connection. But I think that's pretty critical that we do that.
Well, so it's so easy, I think, in our aged years to frown and mm-hmm. to be despondent and down and out. So I've got a smile on my face.
Funny you say that, Jack, because I remember once my mother saying to us kids, if you keep that frown on your face, it's going to be there when you age too.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
I mean,
yeah.
She just, you know, that used to sort of, I used to complain a lot about my younger siblings, right? I'm an eldest child, right? And the frown was always there.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, one of my aunts told me this past summer, that the thing she loved most about me as a baby was that I smiled all the time. That I had a big smile. So I agree. Smiles are really important, right?
Smiles are free. They don't cost anything, and you can do it anytime.
Yeah,
sometimes when I'm feeling really grumpy,
yeah.
I force myself to smile. It's interesting it's interesting how that sort of changes your whole perspective.
Yeah.
It's a bit of false communicating.
Maybe I don't do it. To remember I that. Don't do it. No, I don't do it for the people around me. I do it for myself so that I can sort of shift what I'm feeling and get a different perspective. Yeah.
All right, Rick, you were going to say something, and I think that's
pretty critical. I mean, I think often that's interpreted by cynical-minded people that's just a Pollyanna attitude. You know, oh well, yeah. What are you smiling about? There's nothing to smile about. On the other hand, I think you're right. It does change our approach and our response to what's going on in our lives and in the world. And I think that's really, really good advice. I really enjoyed that.
It takes you out of yourself, but it also, you know, it back to my mom and what she said about doing things for other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And paying attention to what's happening to other people and consider them, visit them, take them something. She has a really good friend who's in a long-term care center, and she regularly visits her. In fact, when I was home last summer, we went to her birthday party, which... her friend promptly fainted and had to go back to bed. But it was a lovely party, and my mom takes her flowers from her garden, and she keeps that relationship going. Mm-hmm. And she gets a lot out of it as well, because she gets a lot back from going to visit her. Mm-hmm. And I saw it there when I was there last summer with her.
Yeah. Well, and sort of the idea of smiling and humor, another instance. When I was in the hospital the last time for my condition, my son was with me, and we were sort of in the room waiting for the doctors to show up and then waiting for to do the procedure that would kind of correct the heart arrhythmia. There was a fair bit of, you know, maybe dark humor and joking and laughter, and every so often we kind of go home, you know, because there's other in the ER, there's other beds there. Maybe we shouldn't be laughing about this, but it was sometimes it was just hard not to, you
right,
know,
and exactly.
And actually, it helped in my mind for me pass the time, helped keep my spirits a bit on an upper level, that I wasn't just, you know, being down in the dumps about missing things and about where is my condition. So. I think that all reflects the good advice that Joanne gives.
Well, it's the companionship, right? It's the mm-hmm. being with somebody as they're experiencing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. the walking with.
Yeah, I think that's really important, the walking with. Like, when you talk about relationships, I think the people you walk with are also going to be part of your long-term aging plan, right? Uh-huh. I think that's important to look at who's around you, who's going to be there doing that walk. Because in some cases, you can't always rely on the fact that your spouse is going to live as long as you do, right? There are going to be those times. So is it only just the family that's going to be around you, or is it going to be, you know, support system there, or the people who've walked with you for a long period of time, right? Thinking, you know, just about how many funerals we've been to or participated in and the people that come to a funeral, right? Where it always fascinates me when I hear somebody talk about their bowling team's there and their doctor's there and their family's there, and they've spread this, their community, 55 plus center communities there, they've spread mm-hmm. themselves out in their aging, right? And so they've made sure that their support network includes a number of people walking that journey with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to do that. Again, it goes back to this whole isolating yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe that's not so helpful, to isolate ourselves as we age.
Yeah.
Although I've got to admit that sometimes I want to be a curmudgeon and say, please don't bother me today.
Yeah. You know? Well, you have those days, right? You have those days where you just need to do that. But I think that, you know, I think of my mother, who is in the same community that she was born in, and she'll die there.
Yeah.
And the support that has been with her all her life, and the people who have fallen away as they die off or move away, and the people that have come in as they come into the community, it's changing around her, but she hasn't moved. And that's a little different than my experience, where I have moved, I've hopped countries, I've hopped cities, I've hopped provinces, I've hopped states. Mm-hmm. I've just sort of been all over. And when I think about those people that are walk with me, they're people who walk, still walk with me because we stay connected, but they're not physically with me.
Right.
So it's a little different. It's a little different, I think, when you're not in that same community for a long period of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to build the relationships differently, but it's still possible. I think of my knitting group that we meet every other Sunday, and mm-hmm. those are people that are all over the North America, and they're a community that I have, that I relate to, that care about me and know about me and know about this podcast and listen to mm-hmm. it. And,
yeah.
And have suggestions for it. And it's cool.
It is kind of cool. I was just thinking when you say that too, one of my cousins sent a text yesterday. Hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? And I was just like, wonder what that means. Is this a scam, you know, at first? But then I thought to myself, no, this isn't the first time that they've done this. And we've talked about our football teams, because there's a rivalry from Saskatchewan to here, right, to Manitoba, and a few things. But just checking in, and I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? I wonder how often he does that for other family members, you know, for cousins or whatever, just to keep
reaching
connecting
out,
in,
reaching out, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
reaching out.
So I wonder too whether that we become as seniors more susceptible to scams by virtue of our need for community. For example, I had someone from LA. I won't mention the name because I don't know if it's real. Mm-hmm. Twice now, DM me on Facebook saying he wants to buy my photos.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran it by my son, and we both more or less concluded it's a scam.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I didn't respond. Now, I don't know 100% that it's a scam.
Yes.
But how do you, anyway, a need for affirmation and community is very seductive for scammers.
But you did the right thing in checking it out.
Check it out definitively, right? Because there's no way of telling.
Right.
But I couldn't find the name on the internet. Mm-hmm. I found a name similar.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, yeah, my photos are beautiful. Maybe I should sell them. But it would be nice to do it with someone close by who I know.
No, yeah, and that it's not a scam.
Yeah, and that it's not a scam.
I mean, I had the opposite experience. Got a message from my son, someone I thought I had contact with through text and Facebook on the West Coast, was asking my son for my contact information. And I said, well, that's kind of odd.
Weird.
And then did some follow-up on that. And it turns out that this individual, their phone had, for various reasons, it had been wiped out. All the information, contact information had been wiped out. And they were trying to rebuild it. So the way we did, we reconnected and had a good conversation. But again, I think it's wise to be suspicious. When, you know,
always be suspicious.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I wonder whether that wouldn't be a great topic in terms of a visitor mm-hmm. who is tech savvy to talk about senior vulnerability.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Scams.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Back to my mother.
Yes.
I wonder if we should wrap this up and play the last little bit that she shared with us, mm-hmm. and then and see what we think about that.
Okay.
So I'm asking Joanne now about gratitude, since we dealt with it in previous podcasts, as to how she practices gratitude, if she does. So here she is again.
Well, even if you are struggling financially, you still can be grateful for some things. Not, you know, I'm not saying be grateful for your struggle, but there are other things that can help you manage where you are. And if you express gratitude for even the small things, I go out and express gratitude for my flowers and gratitude for the sky and the moon and the sun, and it's all pretty marvelous. I know it doesn't take the place of a good plate of food, but it can help you. You know, it can help you handle your situation to express gratitude to a friend that's been kind to you, to your city if it has provided nice parks and places you can go and visit and sit, and your libraries and your museums to go and visit. And expressing gratitude relieves a lot of resentment and hate that can build up and make you a pretty miserable person. It doesn't take the faint of heart to do that, but I would dig in and do it if I can. Find something to be thankful for and be grateful for.
So that kind of sums up my mother as I know her. She has always found a way to appreciate something even when we didn't have much to eat as a kid, or when there wasn't money to do the things that other families were doing. She always found a way to make something happen that was in the place of it. She definitely acknowledges that if you're hungry, it's really hard to be appreciative and to be grateful, or to be in the moment and appreciate the flowers that are there, that are there beside you. But she always was able to find a way through whatever we were struggling with, and that, I appreciate that about her. She still is like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a tremendous amount of wisdom there for this age, this social and political age, because she says it relieves resentment and hate.
Right.
And there seems to be so much grievance and anger out there today. Good. And I really think, and that's really infecting our politics and our whole social interactions. And I think the sense of gratitude is lost. I think having a sense of gratitude really, as she says, really can make a tremendous difference. And I think that's a lesson for our whole society.
Sounds good. Okay. I went off on another tangent when you were your mom talking about your mom's gratitude, right? Yeah, funny thing, humorous situation. Every time we went to visit Rick's mother, on the last day of our visit, she would go over all the fun things that we did, how important it was, and then she'd say, "I'm really glad we had this visit. I might not see you ever again."
Oh, jeez.
And so I just want to give you a big hug, and she'd hug us and say goodbye, right?
What a realist.
It was so real. Every visit was exactly like that, right? But you know, when I think about this whole episode with your mother, right? And I think in some ways mom was saying to us, here's what I've been grateful for. Mm-hmm. Even in the 5 days, the 10 days or whatever we're visiting together, it was lovely to be together. I'm really glad you brought the kids, or I'm really glad we had this story, or I'm really glad we got to go through the albums again, and whatever. That there was always this little bit of gratitude, even knowing, well, might not see
might
you again.
Might not be here when you get there.
Might
again.
Not be here next time you come.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
So thank you, everyone, for listening and getting to know my mom.
Wisdom from someone who really has some great wisdom.
And
thanks
lived
thanks
experience.
For sharing that, Signe.
Thanks for spending this time with us on Seniors in the Building. If you enjoyed today's conversation, we'd love for you to follow us. Join our growing community. And keep sharing in the stories, wisdom, laughter, and life as seniors. Until next time, stay curious and seek hope. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by Seniors in the Building, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. You can also leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design, and Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input and the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love.